Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 152, part 1, Lights in Dark Places. Today is Friday, June 18th, 2010. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota because we have no boundaries. It's located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you live anywhere in Minnesota and you need food, and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, be sure to call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. You can also join the online community at the top of the homepage at www.pastorpaul.org. You're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, Life Vantage, YouTube, and Twitter. You can also leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony at the blog. There you're going to find interactive links to scriptures within Pastor Paul's messages. You can also email me, janine@pastorpaul.org. Now here's a lineup for the month of June. These are the podcasts. I Am Justified, Forgiveness and Condemnation Can't Mix, Lights in Dark Places, Your Business or His Business. Thank you for joining the podcast, and be sure to join us each week, Friday for part one, Sunday for part two, and the conclusion of Pastor Paul's weekly podcasts. Have a great month of June, and God bless you.
Today's message is entitled, Lights in Dark Places. I really believe now we're entering a time of much darkness. I ministered a couple of real heavy deliverance ministries here, one on justification and the other one on there is no condemnation. And in the audience on a Friday night, on the no condemnation message, there was a gentleman sitting that had come to hear the message, and he was going to go commit suicide. And he was that far into it. And I preached that message, and I really felt, well, now I'm going to hear calls on this. Because I says there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. And, you know, this guy was in a real dark place. There was nowhere out for him. And he just didn't know what to do with himself. And he said, can I fellowship with you? And so I'm fellowshipping with him now and bringing him about. But he says, I'm okay for, like, if I come on a Friday night and a Saturday and a Sunday and I can make it on a Monday. I says, well, you got to start coming more. And get some tapes and keep yourself together. So you see, those kind of messages that people don't agree with, there is therefore no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. And then I went on to say, in the original, King James says that walk after the Spirit. That's not in the original. That was added. There is therefore no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. And that man got totally free on that thing, see. So we're in a time of darkness, and a lot of debate is going on how to minister, when to minister, why you should minister, and on what, you know, phraseologies and what Bible you should read and all of that. And a lot of striving, a lot of arguing about morals. Well, now, I know the world is going to hell without Jesus Christ. I don't have to tell them about their morals. And we're arguing about politics, and we know that for the most part it's all crooked, right? We get into it ourselves, and then we're arguing about rights, and we're arguing about schooling. And we're arguing about women's rights and men's rights. It's kind of like our oil lamps are becoming vessels used to show moral wrong. We take our vessel over there, our light, it says to be a city set on a hill, but we mobilize it and take it over, this city, the whole city over, our little city over there, and we start to judge people, see? Becoming vessels used to show moral wrong. What a waste, I thought. Here we're filled with the oil of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit filling us up, and the Holy Spirit, it says, came to magnify Christ. And what we're doing with this oil in our lamps is using it, burning up all this God-given energy to show people where they're wrong. Used to reveal the flesh instead of revealing the Spirit. Now, if we're really in the Lord, we're going to reveal the Spirit of God. And that's the Spirit of loving and forgiving. That's the Spirit of overlooking. That's the Spirit of denying yourself. That's the Spirit of dying to yourself. That's the Spirit of, let the dead bury the dead. That's the Spirit of don't lay down the plow. It's the Spirit of going on in the Lord. And instead of illuminating Jesus, we illuminate the world's garbage. I don't care personally to illuminate their garbage. You hear what I'm saying? I know what the garbage is like. And I believe then we've entered sort of a works program. Leviticus 2 and 13 says, like, the sacrifice with no salt is a flat, tasteless, unacceptable sacrifice. And I think that's sort of a saltless sacrifice. We sacrifice to going over and doing this and doing that. And then we even get a burden for doing it. You know, it might even be a godly burden for a while. And then God wants to pull us out and we continue on. We get mean in what we're doing. But also God said, do not offer sweet fruit to be burnt upon the altar. Sort of like a honey lip sweetness that under fire stinks when it's burnt. Phony. Look what I did, God, with these works. We can get into that down here too. Well, look at that. I donate time. I've been down there at the ministry and I gave time and I packed potatoes and I packed bags and little do those people care and so on like that. They just come on. Man, they're arguing and fighting. That has nothing to do with it. That is the light and that is the Holy Spirit. And I'm not saying there is an order. But that's using the oil of the Holy Ghost and that light to reveal some kind of garbage. I believe we should just go the second mile with folks. Because God has called us, it says in the Bible, to be the children of light. In Isaiah 1 and 10, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth his voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness, hath no light? Are some of you in here today walking in a lot of darkness and have no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his Lord. Now God is asking all the congregations, I know it. Who is among you that feareth the Lord? And why does he ask that? Because if you love the Lord, you're going to fear the Lord. Because the Lord cares, it says in the Bible, for you. He helps us in the day of trouble. And he asks this question. His description of his people is in this scripture. Listen. Who among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth his voice of his servants? Well, it's talking about a sort of a holy reverence in the heart. Obedience and obedience in our walk. Now, a lot of times when you obey the Lord, you have to make sacrifices. They are the marks, I believe, of a real Christian. Obeying God is what you're doing and doing it all the way in God. And then Jesus even said, who is my mother, and who is my sister, and who is my brother? What are you talking about? See, I've got the will of the Father to do. I've been sent. Okay. Let the dead bury the dead. Well, I have to go bury the dead. Well, no, he's already dead. Just follow me. Now we're getting kind of radical, aren't we? Yeah, but I mean, shouldn't we just honor this? And do it? Now I'm talking about, the Lord's calling people to go on. Pick up the plow and don't turn back. Now, I'm not saying that. God's saying that. Let's say God tells us to pick up the plow down here on the north side. Pick up the plow and don't turn back. But Lord, I got to turn back on this thing, or I should turn back on that thing. No, when God says don't turn back, that's exactly what it means, don't turn back. Does it say unless this happens or that happens? No, it says don't turn back. Now, if we're going to get into obeying the Lord, well, sometimes it gets kind of hairy. I many times in this ministry here on the north side, and before that too, not just always here, have thought, well, you know, I really should turn back. And God has given me direction to go ahead and plow up that ground. But I think in my own thought, well, I should turn back because this is happening and that is happening. That don't look quite right. And this little plow here that I'm doing here, it's getting kind of weak. The screws are loosening it and everything. God's the one that holds it together. But Lord, I should turn back because it doesn't look right. I mean, it's going kind of crooked because of the condition and because of the circumstances and because of this and that. But Lord, you know, and it might not look good. Keep on going. Be an example. That isn't always easy to do because you don't want to do that. Well, we'll find a thousand excuses to turn back with a plow. Not too long back, I woke up and I was sort of in a semi-wake up. You know how that is, and you have little kind of dreams and you're kind of awake and not awake, but yet you're awake and you're not awake and so on like that. But anyway, I was laying there and I saw this field of plows, and they were all kind of laid over like this. People had laid their plows over, and I said, well, what is this? The Lord said, well, these are all the people that got hung up on a stump, just laid their plows down and left the field. And before that you can go out there and plow that, you got to take all those and put them over there in a pile and burn them. Well, I'll tell you, by the time I got up, I was tired because there was a whole lot of plows to take over in the corner and to burn. That's where it's at right now. A whole lot of us are laying down our plows. But anyway, this man fears the Lord and therefore comes under the authority of a body. That isn't always to do. That isn't always easy to do. Come under the authority of the body. Stay in the body. Stay there through the trials and the tribulations and you know all the different things that happen in the body. But stay there under that authority. But I think right now I should say this. We should all, every one of us, have a holy fear of God and come into constant obedience. Now I'm talking about constant obedience, not sometimes. But also notice, he is not indifferent to their state. And when they walk in darkness, he is with them. And when they have no light, he still beholds them. Nothing is hidden. You're going to walk in a lot of darkness in your walk. Now, you're a light, but a lot of times you're walking in darkness. God sends you in the darkness. In fact, the Bible says that his light shineth out of the darkness. And it seems like a lot of time my walk is I am walking in darkness. Oh, that isn't scriptural. No, I said that I am a light that's going into darkness, and we are in a darkened world, aren't we? Listen to it. I believe he's so sensitive to our sorrows, and he's so quick to help us when we walk in darkness. He counsels and he advises us. Now, a lot of times you don't know where you're going. You don't understand, and God has you in this very dark place. God says, well, just go on, and I'll lead you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Trust in me during this dark time, and I'll take you through. Why does he do that? So that he can help us. Let him trust in the name of the Lord, it says, and stay upon his God. Now, a lot of times in my particular ministry here, I've really had to trust in the Lord. Lord, we don't have the finances for this. And I've preached it over the radio, and I've ministered it, and I've sent out flyers, and I've asked people, and it seems like nobody wants to help, Lord. This is really a dark place. Where is the money going to come from? Where are the people going to come from? Where's the dedication? Lord, you know, we've talked over the radio, we've put these flyers out, we've done all this. Where is it? God says, just keep right on walking. It'll turn out. And you know what? In those darkened times, God causes it to work out every time. The Bible says, lean ye not upon your own understanding. God says to his vineyard, and he says like this, I, the Lord, do keep it. Well, maybe it's because we start depending on one another too much. Maybe the Lord pulls out people and pulls this one out and pulls that one out. We start to depend on people. We're saying, Lord, where are they? And God says, hey, I am the one that keeps your vineyard. Why are you always out there after all them people? I'll bring the people when you get your eyes off the people and you get your eyes on me. I'm the one. You're serving a very jealous God. I am the one. I am the one that will give you the grace, and my grace is sufficient to bring those people when your attitude is right. So don't you worry about it, Paul. I, the Lord, do keep it. I will water it every moment. Every moment. Lest someone come along, lest someone hurt it, I will keep it night and day. He sees those that are walking in darkness. Maybe today, maybe you on the radio or listening to this tape, and you're walking in a whole lot of darkness. With an eye of love, he says, let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Well, you say, is that scriptural? I say, yes, it is. For the most of my walk, being a light, being a beacon, being a city set on a hill, it seems like I've had to go into a lot of darkness. And so let's look at a few things here today. I believe, number one, what is this condition that some of God's people are found? And I believe, secondly, then, what should these people trust in when they're in this condition? Number three, why should we trust at this time? These are questions. Number four, what will come from such trust? When a man trusts, when he has no light, what will be the final result? Well, I've had some experience along those lines. I'm going to share it with you today. So number one, what is this condition into which a child of God may come? Now this person described is one that fears the Lord, and I do have a fear of the Lord, and obeys the voice of his servant, yet walketh in darkness and has no light. I'm going through different trials and different things, and probably you are, where there doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of light. And it seems like you're in a lot of darkness, but remember, you are a light. You say, well, I don't understand this. But now, to people who know nothing of the Christian experience, this condition might be a little bit surprising. Maybe my ministry might be a little bit surprising what I'm preaching here today. And they might ask like this, shall a child of light walk in darkness? And they might say something like this. I mean, doesn't the normal condition of a child of God have him walk in the light? Well, walk in the light as God is in the light and to have fellowship with him. Well, that's what it says in the Bible. Yes, it does. And then, well, you say over the radio, how does this child of God come to have no light? He that believeth in the Lord. And they give you scriptures. He that believeth in the Lord Jesus Christ has passed from darkness to light. And he shall never come into what? Condemnation. Well, then you go on and you keep asking these questions. Then how does he come into darkness? See, I believe in the very darkness of sin and ignorance, we no longer walk. But with darkness of trouble and very perplexing, and the Bible says in the end, you'll fall into perplexities. I believe, but with the darkness of trouble, let me explain it to you over the radio before you start quoting more scriptures. I believe that in the darkness of trouble and perplexing situations, we are many times surrounded. All right? Have you felt yourself surrounded? Have you been perplexed? Have you said there is no way out of this thing? Well, I believe at that time, the Lord is our light and our salvation, and so we shall not walk in darkness where Satan is supreme. Yet sometimes, we are in the gloom of sadness. Why is that? You're in a dark place. God has allowed you to be in a dark place. I believe we are in the gloom of sadness. I said, I believe we're in depressed, surrounds us. That's a spirit. It'll surround. You can't naturally put your finger on it, but you know that you're depressed. You can't put your finger on it, but you're just in a gloom of sadness. You start to feel left out. You start to feel rejected of men. Well, now this, you're getting Christ-like, don't you see? Here is the light. I mean, here is the light, Jesus Christ, that came down here, the light of all the world. He is the light. He is the way, he is the truth. He is the way, he is all truth, and here is God coming down, rejected of man, full of sorrow and acquainted with grief. Well, I mean, here is the total light in a lot of darkness. Are you better than your master? You are a child of God, made in his image, and you are going to be in dark places. So that's how you have to tell people. And that's why, and you understand over the radio right now that a lot of times you're in the gloom of sadness, that you're having depressions, that you're acquainted with grief, that you're under persecution, that you're under all these trials and afflictions. And you say, why? Because I'm a child of light and I walk in the light. Yes, but darkness surrounds you. Sometimes it comes in like a dark cloud and you see no comforting light. Well, you see, I know Christians that go for years uninterrupted sunshine. So do I. Can you explain it? All aglow. Can you explain that? No, I can't. Why can't I have this continued river of life? Now, of course, I'm saying we don't desire any of this kind of darkness. Yet the best of God's people do have it. How many in here have seemed like they've had very dark times? No, I have. See, you're set free, and you're set free by the truth. It says in the Bible, and the truth will set you free. Right now, there is a dark time coming on this planet like never before. And even before this. Down through history, there's been those dark, dark times. There's been persecution. There's been martyrs. There's been all kinds of things happening in the church that cannot be explained. Children of light. And yet, that child of light walks in much darkness. It seems like it engulfs him. It seems like it surrounds him. It seems like most of my way to heaven has been by night. Well, does that make me feel defeated? No, it doesn't. I'm just stating a fact. Most of my Christian walk has been in the night, has been in the dark places. Can you explain it? Well, look at Paul's walk. Look at Peter's walk. Look at all the men of God. Look at their walks. It seemed like they had to walk in very dark places. I think that they had on their way, they had eternal light, of course. And yet they had to walk in darkness. Isn't that right? Don't you feel that yourself? And I think we are heirs to a very, measureless state of eternal joy. But many times we don't have 2 cents of change towards joy. Are you getting depressed over this message? No, I'm just stating a fact. See, it'll set you free. Well, you thought probably I was the only one. And then you try to put on a happy face, and then you try to, by faith, stamp your little faith tootsie-tootsers and try to get into it and say, well, by faith, I claim this, and that's all right. And you claim, and you claim, and you claim, and nothing happens. So never, I'm saying here today, never judge a man's real character before God by his present state of feelings. Oh, you can do that so easily, can't you? Never judge him. You may fall into joy today, and then you might not have it for a whole 2 months. You may be low, you may be bowed down with sorrow, but remember that the Bible says that that light affliction is but for a moment, which worketh out for you a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now that will give you peace, that all things are working together for good for them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And you can claim all you want to, jump up and down and shout and rave and go mad and lose your wig by bouncing up and down. It won't do you no good. You're going to have times of sorrow. You're going to have times when it seems like you're in darkness and you're never going to get out of that thing. But it says, do not put your eyes on that thing. It says, put your eyes on Christ, the author and finisher of your faith, and that's the secret. That is the secret. That is the light at the end of the tunnel. And you rejoice in your persecutions, the Bible says. You rejoice in your trials, the Bible says. You rejoice in all these things, the Bible says, because it has a far more eternal weight of glory that's coming your way. But there is a price to pay. Now, that will set you free if you receive it. But if you're going to go out every day looking for a situation, looking for joy, and trying to get it out of every little weed, I'm behind every little weed out there. Where's joy at? Where's my joy today? And where's my peace today? And how come this person's so happy? And why is all this happening to me? You want to know what? You're just going to get yourself more depressed. You're going to get yourself deeper and deeper into a siege of depression. You're going to say, oh, God, take me. You're going to say, oh, Lord, I want to commit suicide. I want out of this thing. Well, you ain't going to get out of it. You're just going to have to walk by faith and keep your eyes on Christ. You know what? The joy is on the inner person. All healings come from the inside. When you cut yourself, where do you think that healing comes from? From inside the body. Where do you think your joy comes? From inside the body. And your joy comes, you're serving a jealous God, your joy comes from knowing Jesus. Not from a circumstance, an instance that happens to you, something that happens to you, but knowing Jesus. Now I said, you're serving a jealous God. Now you get your eyes off, and you get your eyes on looking for joy, and you get your eyes off looking for peace, and you get your eyes off looking for this. And Jesus is all of those things. So don't you see, if you keep your eyes on Jesus, you have those things. If you don't, you aren't going to have them because you're walking in a lot of darkness. Most Christians, I have to say this, and I know it's going to set people free if they'll receive it. Most of the time, 90% of the time, you're walking in darkness. Now, I didn't say you were walking in sin, although that might be. I said you are walking, you are a light, and you're walking in dark places. God sends you into them. Doesn't matter. Because, see, you keep your eyes on Jesus. He's the answer. He's the answer for the world today. Now, I have to remind myself all the time, there is therefore no condemnation for those that are where? In Christ Jesus. When I get outside of him, and I start to look at my circumstance, and I start to look at people, and I start to get fearful, and I start to, well, what's this person thinking? What's that person thinking? And this and that, and then you make yourself paranoid. And then paranoia. It's the spirit of paranoia, and all the paranoia's spirits come in, and pretty soon you're paranoid. You're walking around like some kind of a religious freak. That's because you got your eyes off of Jesus, and now you start to condemn yourself. Well, I don't even know if I'm saved anymore, huh? It's the truth, isn't it? Well, you say over the radio, aren't the good always happy? Well, answer that question. Are they? No. Are the good always happy? No. You got to get to that point. And you get to that point by walking towards Jesus. Now you get off and you walk over here and you get caught up in this situation over here. And then you get your eyes off of the Lord. You get your eyes onto the circumstance. You get your eyes onto yourself. You get your eyes on all these things. And you don't look at Jesus and you've left the plow lane out there. No, every day isn't a great big bundle of joy. There are trials in it. And you wake up and the baby's been so good. Oh, he's just been the best little baby. But the next day, whew, it's like I said Friday night. And I wanted to show hands. I says, how many of you people in here have wanted to walk up behind little Junior and kick him in the diapers? I said, tell the truth. And they all raised their hands. And I said, well, then you can kind of understand these people when they get into these fits. How many of you wanted to do that? And they all put their hands up. And I said, well, now there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. I said, you start saying that and you'll get out of the dumps. There is therefore no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Now, you know, when we're first saved, we think, praise God, and music and dancing and plenty will always be there. Not so. Not so. I had a guy just totally defeat me. I just got saved and I went to this church and he came up and he said, now you've been happy for about a month. And how long have you been saved? I says, I've been saved a couple of months. Seems like you're always happy, having a good time. It won't last. And I thought to myself, well, I'm never going to look like that. You know what? About 2 weeks later, I was looking just like that guy did. I don't know if he hurried it along or not. I mean, he didn't have the right approach. That's for sure. Because, circumstances didn't need help from him. Oh, you make me sick. You're having too much joy. Get like I am. No, that didn't help me a lot. But what he said was the truth, in essence. Did you hear me? The Bible says, rejoice in your trials. Rejoice in these things. Glory in them, it says. Your light affliction is but for a moment, it says. Why? Because they are there. They're a fact of life. You can't get over them. You can't get around them. You can't go over the top of them. You got to come at the door of suffering. You got to go to the cross, I'm talking about. And knowing that, and knowing what your job is, gives you peace and gives you joy. Knowing that you're going to have to do those things, knowing there's going to be persecution, knowing there's going to be suffering, gives you a sort of peace. Now, are you set for it? Why the guys, when they join the army, and they say, okay, join the Marines, rough and tough, and the halls of Montezuma, and so on like that. You know what I mean? Why do they get into that? Do they expect they'll never be in any kind of a war? When you get into God's army, you're in war. You are in what? A battle. But you know, we kind of think, well, man, there's never going to be a winner again. The birds will never leave for Capistrano. The leaves will never fade. The flowers will never wither. Did you ever see that? But winter does come, doesn't it? Flowers wilt. The birds desert and friends leave. How many have had friends leave in your Christian walk? I mean, totally walk out. You call yourself a Christian? People talk about us, you know? Why? Because they are people. Does that surprise you that Christians are people? I mean, arms and legs and feet and toenails and dandruff and pimples and all? It is people. Huh? The president, he's just a people. He scratches his head just like you do in his kneecap, eats jelly beans and stuff. He's people. Does it surprise you that people will be people? And that they will desert you? Does it surprise you? Don't let it surprise you. You're one too. Bible says, know yourself. But now we understand, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son that he receiveth. And I believe we must tell new Christians, you will hit the very base of the mountains. And it will be ice and it will be thorns all the way to the top. Let them know. Now you're in the valley here and you're in this lush field here and you're headed towards the base of this mountain. Just before you get there, everything is all, because of the streams and so on like this, trees and there's all kinds of flowers and so on like that. But you're going to come to the hill of difficulty. Don't stand back and then let them get into it all by themselves. Well, they'll find out. You're going to come to the hill of difficulty. And it is my witness to you that you'll make it over the top. Now, a man came to me today and he said, this and that happened to me. I said, the same thing happened to me years ago in my life. And I'll tell you, God is able. You're just at the very base of this hill of difficulty. And all the way up that thing is going to be thorns and it's going to be ice. And I says, are you ready for it? He looked at me, what do you mean? Well, he says, well, should I pray about it? And he got all stuttery and all. And I said, yeah, you can go ahead and pray, but I'm just telling you like it is. You got to go up and over. It's going to be hill difficult. It's going to be deserts of dryness. It's going to be the valley of the shadow of death. It's going to be the water walk when you have to walk on water with your faith. It's going to be roaring pits. Is that encouraging to him? It's going to be laughing, mocking giants. It's going to be the boils of Job in testing. It's going to be bow or burn in the furnace. And then smile at him. Well, that's the truth, isn't it? Well, the Bible says to tell the truth. Now he knows what he has to go through. The hills of difficulty, deserts of dryness, the valley of the shadow of death, the walk on water faith, the roaring pits, the laughing, mocking giants, and the boils of testing, and the bower burn baby furnace. Well, see, now get ready for that. Get yourself prayed up. Put on the full armor of God. Read your Bible. Know that it's going to happen. Oh, God. If I knew all that was going to happen, I wouldn't become a Christian. This is the most defeating message that I've ever heard. I wish I wouldn't even turn the radio on. My Lord, this is not a faith message. No, it's the truth. It's telling you that you're going to have to get built up in the faith, and it's telling you that you're going to have to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's telling you. And I'm going to tell you something else. Rejoice in the deserts of afflictions. Sure, you give me all them weighty things. Now you tell me to rejoice. What's there to rejoice about? See, your pilgrimage to God isn't always Lilac Lane and Butterfly Avenue. Did you know that? How many are finding that out? And don't be surprised as though some strange thing happened to you. You're not alone. No, why is this happening to me? I mean, why me? How many in here this has happened to you? Well, you never had any trials yet? God, put your hand up if you have some trials here. Well, they'll come. You know, you'll get double duty if you don't put your hand up. Woo-wee! Well, isn't it a comfort to know that you're not alone? Did you think you're the only one that ever had any kind of ache or pain or suffering? Why me, God? You know, if everybody would sing that song honestly, boy, the whole building would fall down. Why me, Lord? That's why that song was so popular, because everybody, it was for them. What did I ever do? Ooh, how many are hearing this message today? Don't be surprised and think this strange thing and you're the only one that's ever happened to. The Scripture warns you of what you might expect. You may fear God and carefully obey His servant, and yet it remains damp and cold and dark and foggy. Doesn't it? God, I just wish I wouldn't have turned this radio on. This guy's crazy. You know what this condition is? It's a great test of the grace. Now we'll find out about the man's courage and if it's the right kind. That Wizard of Oz that was on, about the lion that wanted the courage. Huh? Well, how did he get it? By someone just giving him a medal and telling him, well, you do have courage. Confess it. Well, I want a heart. Well, how do you get a heart? By claiming you have one. Well, I want some smarts. Well, how do you get it? By claiming you're smart. See, that's where it's at. Right in the middle of nothing, you make a claim in God. And you say, Lord, I don't know what's happening, but I'm going to go on because the Bible tells me I don't love darkness. And I know that I'm going to have to walk into this darkness. I know that all my faculties are going to be tried. Now, if you're in your own house, it doesn't matter, does it? When you get out in the woods, did you see them when they went through the woods? And he says, well, it was okay out there, but now in the woods, I'm fearful. A lot of times in your ministries, you get into the woods, and you get way deep in the woods, huh? What was it? Lions and bears and da-da. Lions and wolves and bears, da-da, huh? When you have to go through the woods. When there isn't street signs all over, this way, that way, toot, toot, this way, that way, don't go this way, up, down. When there isn't those signs. And you're walking through a strange place, and it's dark and damp and dank, in this trees are shot way up, and it's an experience, and you're walking through all these woods. Lions and bears and wolves, ta-da. And lions and bears and wolves, ta-da. But did they make it through?
Go with your utility.